And he's on his way to Nashville and missed the preacher's conference this morning. He's from North Carolina. Wayne Henson. And it'd be a shame for him to come through here and not stop here and preach for him. It'd be our loss. This man is really, he's one of God's chosen people. And I've heard him preach quite a few times. And I'm sure you'll enjoy him. I know I do every time I'm around him. He's just got such a good spirit about him. He's one of the gang I run around with in North Carolina.
Chain gang.
Chain gang. But anyway, you welcome, brother Wayne, coming out of here. Hey, you help yourself, and we'll be praying for you. And there's your plenty of water.
All right. I appreciate the privilege to be in the God's house this morning. I compliment you on the beautiful sanctuary. And my, what a nice looking, good looking crowd out there. Amen. Too bad you got to look at me for the next 2 hours. I appreciate Brother David. Brother David has been a good friend and good friends. Somebody said one time, if you go through life and you have one real true friend, then you've been blessed. And I've had quite a few. So I appreciate Brother David. Appreciate you folks here. Beautiful, beautiful place. Beautiful countryside. And you just feel God. Felt God just a little bit ago. Amen. And I appreciate the privilege to be here today. Appreciate your pastor. You got a fine man. Everybody say amen to that. All right. Thank God for that. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1. In the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 1. I'm going to read the first 9 verses of Scripture. And if you would this morning stand with me in honor of God's infallible and inerrant Word, the only thing that never changes in this world is the Word of God. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, this is a blessed verse if you think about it, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray today, dear God, that you might make me a blessing. Lord, we're not capable of being a blessing to anyone on our own. Within our own carnal nature, God, we realize that we're nothing, we have nothing, and we are nothing, and never will be anything apart from you. So, Lord, I pray for that anointing today. I need that, Lord, greater than I need anything on this earth. And so I pray, God, you anoint my spirit, anoint this place, and anoint the preaching of the Word of God, that we might stand in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost of God. And Lord, that every word that proceeds from our mouth might be words, Lord, that we return to you not void, but we'll bring fruit for the glory of God. We'll thank you, we'll praise you, for we pray in the name of the captain of our salvation, in Jesus' name, Amen and amen. You can be seated. I appreciate your standing. I want to preach a message today, if I can keep myself composure. I want to preach a message entitled, let me say this, the Primitive Quartet. I suppose that many of you have listened to them. But they came out with a song about 6 months ago entitled, "He's Still Been a Good God to Me." And I want to preach on that subject this morning, good God being my helper. That even in the midst of trials and even in the midst of heartaches, He's still been a good God to me. Amen. And so I hope that you'll kind of open your heart and reminisce a little bit today and look back on what God's done for you. If you're alive this morning, amen, it's because of the grace of God. By the way, you couldn't have got out of bed this morning had it not been for the grace of God. You couldn't have put one foot in front of the other had it not been for the grace of God. And so we all have a lot to be thankful for, amen. And I hope and I pray this morning that you just open your heart and look back and remember the day God saved you and all that He's done for you. All down through the years, glory to God. And it don't matter what you're going through, what you have been going through, or what you might go through, thank God, He's still being a good God to me. Amen. Amen. So we're looking at that today, and I hope that it might be a blessing to you. It's been said that Longfellow could take a worthless sheet of paper, write a poem on it, and make it worth $6,000. I call that genius. It's been said that Rockefeller can sign his name to a piece of paper and make it worth $1 million. I call that wealth. It's said that Uncle Sam can take a piece of paper and stamp an eagle on it and make it worth $100. I call that money. It's said an artist can take a canvas worth very little and paint a picture on it and make it worth $1,000. I call that art. But it also has been said, and I know personally this morning, that God can take an old worthless lost sinner headed for hell without a hope in this world, no chance of ever being anything apart from God, and save them by the blood of the Lamb, and wash them in the blood, and regenerate them, glory to God, and birth them into the family of God. I call that salvation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So as we gather and we glean from these verses in 1 Peter, I'm kind of like a heavyweight boxer now. Y'all have to just bear with me. I always loved to watch Muhammad Ali. I'm not talking about his character. I'm talking about his boxing now. So, amen. So forgive me for this. But I always liked to watch him because he'd warm up over in the corner. About 15 minutes, get himself good and warmed up. And then he'd go out there and just beat the stuffings out of somebody. And that's kind of the way I am. I have to warm up a little bit. Amen. Have to spar a little bit. Have to get myself in shape. Then I'm ready to preach. Amen. So y'all just bear with me for a little bit. And I hope that it won't be too long. But we're gathering and we're gleaning from 1 Peter today. And there's no doubts in their minds that the period that transpired and that these verses were written was a time of persecution. I looked it up according to the Jewish historian Josephus, and he said this was one of the most horrible and most horrific times in all of history for the persecution of those that call them the saints of God. Now I want you to keep that in mind because I want you to see what Peter said. He's in the midst of trials. He's in the midst of persecution. He may have even been facing the guillotine himself. And he was writing to people that were also in the same condition that he was in, that were being persecuted, burned at the stake, and drugged through town on rails, and beheaded and everything else. Now this is the setting of what Peter was writing about. But Peter, in the midst of the trials, even in facing death, thank God, Peter said, "He's still been a good God to me." Amen. I wonder this morning, hallelujah, before I even get into the message, I wonder how many could just lift their hands and say, "I've been to the funeral home. I've been down by the graveside. I've been at the hospital, watched my loved ones die. I've got those phone calls in the night telling me bad news, but in the middle of that, that. Hallelujah. He's still been a good God to me. I thank God for what He is today. I'm glad, thank God, that I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm glad, glory to God, I am what I am by the grace of God. And He's still been a good God to me. Three things I want to show you, and then I'll hopefully be quite a while. Number one is yesterday He acquired me. Number two is today He amazes me. And number three is tomorrow He's going to adorn me.
Amen.
Yesterday He acquired me. God acquired me. I didn't acquire Him. Somebody said, I found God. He wasn't lost. I don't know why you want to go find Him. He ain't been lost. But I was lost and He found me. Before I could go to Him, thank God He came to me. When I could not go to Him, hallelujah, He came to me, glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, isn't that worth rejoicing over today? Just saying, thank God I'm glad I'm saved. Thank God I'm glad He acquired me. I'm glad He came and found me where I was at. I wonder just how far down He had to dig to find you. Amen. I know He had to go way down for me. Thank God, but He kept on digging and He found me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yesterday, He acquired me. Look at verse number 3 in our Scripture. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Two parts to this. I'll go across it real quickly. But yesterday, He acquired me. The first part is where He said we're begotten again unto a lively hope. And we are begotten again unto a lively hope. That's the new life. Amen. I'm no longer what I used to be. I may not be what I'm going to be. And I may not look like what I'm going to be. But thank God I'm no longer what I used to be. I am saved. Hallelujah. So that's a new life. Now, when Nicodemus approached Christ in John chapter number 3, he said, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, you must be born again. Amen. One old preacher was asked one time, said, preacher, why you preach on so much on you must be born again? He said, cause you must be born again. Amen. And you must be born again. And that's all there is to it. Jesus said it. And that's what Peter's getting at right here. That word begotten is in a tense in the Greek language that's different than our English language. Now, I don't want to get too technical, and I'm just an old country boy, but I thought you would understand this, so I figured most people could. In the English language, you've got a past tense, a present tense, and a future tense. Somebody raise their hand and say, that's right. I remember my English in school. But in the Greek, you've got a tense that's not in the English language, and it's called the aorist tense. And it is a tense which means an act that has been performed never to be repeated again. So the word begotten means that you're not only saved, but it also means that it's never going to have to be done again. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that's shouting ground. I mean, glory to God, I'm saved. Now let me, you say, preacher, I don't believe you can stay saved. Well, let me just put this down on perspective for you then. You were born or you would be here. Is that right? And when you were born, it took two parents. Is that right? Had to be a male and a female. Is that right? Say amen. All right. But how much did you have to do with it? Somebody raised their hand for me this morning. Had anything to do with their physical birth? Say, no, I didn't have nothing to do with that. That was all up to my parents. That was up to the seed. That was up to the gene. That was up to the sperm. Amen. And up to the good grace of God that you were born, but you didn't have anything to do with it. And neither did you have anything to do with your spiritual birth. Just as it takes a mother and a father to be born physically, it takes two parents to be born spiritually. It takes the Word of God, hallelujah, and the Spirit of God to birth you into the family of God. You didn't have one thing to do with it.
Amen.
Say, yeah, I did. I had faith. Well, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So where did your faith come from? Came from God. You had nothing, glory to God. You had nothing to offer. He gave you the faith. He gave you the grace. He gave you the new birth. He gave you salvation. It's all the work of God.
Amen. Right, brother. Amen.
That word begotten means never to be repeated again. How wonderful. It means I'm saved to the uttermost. It means I'm sealed until the day of redemption. It means that when the Holy Ghost of God, now watch this, when the Holy Ghost took up His residence when I got saved, you know what He did when He entered my soul? He closed the door behind Him. He locked the door behind Him. And nobody can get in, nobody can get out. Amen. And that's what's meant by that word lively hope. Hey, we got a lively hope. We're not supposed to be dead. We're supposed to be alive, thank God. I've got a living God that's residing in my soul. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
So we ought to have life about us. It's a lively hope. And it comes from a living God. I was dead before I got saved. But now that I'm saved, I'm alive.
Amen.
So if I remain dead in my actions, then I'm saying to the world that, hey, I haven't been saved, I'm still dead. But when I got born again, I got life. I got new life. I got the blood life. I got the born again life. I got the God life. I got the joy unspeakable life. Hallelujah. I got a lively hope. Glory to God. Now the world's hope is kind of like a Mickey Mouse Disneyland hope. It's that hope that says, I hope I win the lottery. I get in trouble. Well, that's the kind of hope the world's got. It's a hope based on the expectation with no guarantee of anything to happen. Somebody say amen there. That's not a Bible hope, though. Bible hope's just, they say, well, it's still hope. No, it's not really. The Bible just calls it a hope. But a Bible hope is a Bible hope is an expectation based on a past performance, based on a future promise, based on a present reality. Glory to God. I mean, hell, I feel like running. Hey, I've got a lively hope. Glory to God. Oh, glory. Hey. I know that He resurrected from the dead. I know that He lives in my heart. I know, thank God, that He's coming back again. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 1, they were standing there like a lot of people are doing today. I call them stargazers. They're at it again. The media tells me not to plan anything after a certain date in 2012 because the world's going to end that day. Oh, praise God. And they told everybody, here's the fallacy all that. Y'all laugh at me a little bit. Told everybody, get all your money out of the bank. Take care of all your arrangements. World's going to end on 2012, certain day of the month, certain. Amen. Are you listening to me? My question is, why am I going to get the money out of the bank? If world's going to end, where are you going to use that money? In the 1970s in South Carolina, another group did that. Amen. They went up on a mountain in western South Carolina. And they took all their belongings, they took their money out of the bank, and they said, today's the end of the world. And they went up there and they stood, and when 12 o'clock midnight struck, they all looked at each other. Didn't nobody say what was obvious, that they were stupid. And they went back, put their money in the bank, put their stuff back in the house, and lived right on. Hey, that don't work. I got a lively hope. My hope's not based on some scientist telling me the world's going to end today. They don't know. It's going to end, sure, but it's not going to end their way. It's going to end God's way. Hey, but there's some things got to happen before it ends. Are you listening to me? I'm a child of the King, glory to God. Like that one song they sang this morning, He's coming back after me, hallelujah. I've got that promise, glory to God, that one day, hallelujah, there'll be a great getting up morning, and the trumpet of God will sound, and the shout will raise all the dead, and we'll all meet together in there. Hallelujah to God. Now there is hope.
Amen.
Yesterday He acquired me, but today He amazes me. Aren't you amazed at God? I watch the government, and I'll stay off of that because I get real derogatory and sometimes mean when I talk about the government. But let me tell you two things to never believe. Never believe a Baptist preacher when he says, I'm going to be brief. And never believe a government worker when they say, we're here to help you. There's two things don't ever believe. Today, He amazes me in verse 5, verse 6. I'm amazed, number one, at His power. The Bible says, Peter said, you're kept by the power of God. Hallelujah. You're not kept by your works. You're not kept by who you are. You're not kept by your social standing. You're not even kept by your church standing. Amen. You're not kept because you're a preacher, evangelist, missionary. Got nothing to do with it. You're kept by the power of God. I'm glad, thank God, that's the way God set it up. He didn't set it up where I'd have to work to get it or work to keep it. Hallelujah. He set it up by His own power. Glory to God. I am kept by the power of God. Isn't that wonderful? I'm amazed at His power. The day we got adopted into the family of God, He took our souls and locked them in. And we're kept every day by the power of God. You're kept while you're sleeping by the power of God. You're kept while you're walking by the power of God. You're even kept while you're committing sin by the power of God. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't say that. I'm going to say it because, hey, my body has not been redeemed. My body's still in the old nature. My body still will sin. If I lose that battle of waging between the old nature and the new nature every day, hey, you will sin.
Amen.
The only difference is when you get saved, you won't stop sinning, but when you get saved, you'll stop wanting to sin. Isn't that something? You're kept by the power of God. So there's a witness of God within. That's the Holy Ghost. But there's the Word of God that's standing on the outside. That's why the Bible said, why Jesus told us, said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You know why? Because you're protected by the Word of God. I want to tell you something this morning. I don't believe a child of God that's in the perfect will of God and walking with God. I don't believe there's a thing that hell itself can offer to a child of God that will harm them as long as they're where God wants them to be.
Amen. I believe
that. So what about Job? Don't you remember the devil went to heaven and said, hey, I could do something with Job if you take that hedge out of him. In other words, God had to remove the hedge before He could say, do anything to Job. And even then, He said, you have everything God said, but soul, ooh.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Time to run and shout a little bit. And you see what the problem is in our world, and I need to move on, but what the problem is, we center too much on the flesh. Amen. Most of our problems are entertained by the flesh. Somebody help me out here. Amen. I don't have enough money. That's flesh. Your soul don't need a dime to exist.
Amen.
I don't have as nice a house as I'd like to have. Hey, your soul live anywhere. It's forever. It'll live in an outhouse or it'll live in a warehouse. Glory to God. It don't matter where the soul lives because the soul's going to live.
Amen.
Most of our problems are centered around our flesh. Thank God. Hallelujah. And then the will of God working in us, the sovereign Father. Look at that word, incorruptible. It means imperishable. It means incorruptible. It means immortal. And it means not likely to death, nor not liable to death, not subject to destruction. Incorruptible. That means there's no force in this universe that can touch your soul if you're saved. The devil himself cannot touch your soul. There is no evil that can enter your soul. As a matter of fact, the Bible said in 1 John, if you want to read it, that the soul that's saved will not sin. Your soul is saved. Your soul's been washed in the blood. When God looks on you, thank God, hey, I feel the wind blowing in. When He looks at you, glory to God, He don't see your flesh. He can't look on your flesh because your flesh is sinful and God cannot look upon sin. He looks upon the soul. But He don't see the soul because the blood's been applied. And the blood, and the blood was already applied to the mercy seat in heaven. That's why Jesus ascended back to the Father. And glory to God, when God looks at you, He looks at you as in Christ. Glory to God.
Amen.
Say, well, when I get home, hey, your soul's already home. Figuratively speaking. All right, now, hey, am I fixing to lose somebody? When He looks at you, He sees the blood. When Jesus ascended back to heaven, He applied the blood to the mercy seat as the sacrifice. God accepted. And that's why Jesus sat down. It was finished. And when God looks at your soul, He sees the blood. In other words, He sees you as if you're already there.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says you can sit together in heavenly places. That's why the Bible says you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You don't get any glory out of this world. There is no glory in this world. Only glory that you can have, only joy that you can have is from the next world. So we're looking at the fact that yesterday He acquired me. Today He amazed me. I'm amazed by His power. I'm amazed by His presence. He said, wherein you greatly rejoice? His presence. Have you felt His presence today? Let me ask you something. Do you have to come to church to feel His presence? You ever been riding down the road to feel His presence? Now please don't let go of the steering wheel if you're meeting me. And the Holy Ghost gets on you. I mean, maintain a little composure. But yes, you can.
Amen.
God, that's His presence.
Amen.
He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, did He not? He said, I'll always be with you, did He not? Isn't it wonderful when you get that midnight call? And on the other end says, I hate to call you, but so-and-so just passed away. I mean, when you get that call, there ain't a person in this world, not me, not 1,000 preachers can help you at that moment. Only God. All in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'll be an ever-present help in a time of need. Glory to God. I mean, hey, there's nothing good compared to that. I mean, when it feels like every ounce has been drained out of your body, that funeral when you watch your loved one being lowered in the ground, it's a peace, thank God, that passes all understanding. His presence amazes me. But I'm also amazed by His participation. Verse 6 and verse 7. I'm amazed by His power. I'm amazed by His presence. But I'm amazed by His participation. You see, our commander-in-chief don't just sit behind the lines and give orders and send them out there for us soldiers to perform. He's out there with us. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, in that trial, in that midnight hour, I mean, down there in the dirt and down there in the darkness of the trials and the tribulation. Any of y'all ever been through any of those? I mean, trials and tribulation when it felt like the whole world was coming on you, when it felt like you didn't have a friend in the world. Hey, man, am I preaching to somebody today that's been through that? Hey, that's the only thing that helped you was that still small voice that spoke to your soul, glory to God, and said, peace, be still, amen. I'm amazed at His participation. But not only does yesterday He acquired me, today He amazes me, but tomorrow He's going to adorn me. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. In the courtroom, would you look at verse number 7? It's talking about a courtroom of justice in verse number 7. It's exactly what it's talking about. Peter said in that verse, He said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that of gold, that perisheth though it be tried by fire, might be found in praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He's talking about trial, talking about justice. And it's the trial of your faith. There's two words. Number one's faith, and the other word's fire in that verse. Two things, faith and fire. I want to tell you something. If your faith's never been through the fire, it's no good. You don't know what you're going to do. In other words, faith that's been tested is faith that's been tested in the fire. I mean, it's easy to have faith when you got $1 million in the bank. It's easy to have faith when everybody's got a job and a house. It's easy to have faith when everybody's got good health. It's easy to have faith when the church got 150, 200, 300 people in it. Amen. Hey, but I'm going to tell you, faith, glory to God, that'll stand the test. It's faith that'll stand there in the fire, glory to God. And that's what Peter was talking to. He was talking to people who were fixing to get burnt at the stake. And he said, your faith, though as tried by fire, now does that make sense to you what he was saying? He was saying, you're fixing to get burned alive. But he said, if you got the faith of a grain of mustard seed, he was telling him, then you can stand there even in the fire and go out praising God. Hallelujah. But you know, most of our faith is, as soon as the trial comes, why me, Lord? What have I done? Lord, I've been faithful. Lord, I've tithed. Lord, I've prayed. Lord, I've studied my Bible. I've done all these things. Why me, Lord? And I'm going to tell you something. I've been there, but when you do that, your faith is not worth anything. When you do that, you're missing what God's trying to tell you. You see, He told them, He said, though your faith be tried as a fire. Amen. And if your faith will not stand the test of fire, then you don't have any faith. Amen. Faith, thank God, is believing before it happened, as if it already had happened. Glory to God. Amen. There it is. And I believe if we had the faith, we could stand the fire. And I'll say something else to you today, and I'll just throw this in. Am I being too long on you? Amen. I want to throw this in. If you're going to serve God and stay with God, you might as well get ready for the test that's coming. It's already in the works. It's coming. I'm not blowing smoke. And I'm not being a doomsday preacher. It's coming our way. If you're going to stand for God, they won't inside this church. They want to disrupt and destroy what you have. That's it. It started way back in 73 when abortion, then this prayer was taken out of school, then the prayer and everything was taken off the courthouse, then off the square, and then they're trying to get it off our money. There's a bill in Congress right now that says on talk radio that for every word that's said about a conservative subject, got to be a liberal on there to combat it. I mean, hey, are you listening to me? There's another bill in Congress right now trying to be passed that says I can stand in the pulpit and say something openly about a homosexual and quote the Bible, and you can go out of here and hit one of them and say that it was because I preached it, and they can put me in prison for it. I'm telling you, it's a coming. Glory to God. And we might as well get ready for the persecution. It's going to separate the men from the Lord. It's going to really show us who's got faith. And that's what Peter was talking about here in the Word of God, the fire. The fire. Are you willing? You say, preacher, I got it, preacher. I'm going to stand. Well, we're going to find out, ain't we? We're going to find out. I wonder how many preachers are going to stand when they say, hey, if you don't shut up, you're going to jail. Dangling the handcuffs, Brother David. I wonder how many is going to stand. I know a lot that won't. I know some I believe will. But it's coming. Just as Peter told them, it's coming to our way. Amen. You say, maybe we'll just get in the recluse and get in the cave. No. What we need to do is shout louder. What we need to do is praise God more. What we need to do is worship more. Glory to God. Rejoice more. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want to say something else while we're on the subject. Even in the midst of what we're seeing today, God can work a work in the middle of a perverse generation. Hallelujah to God. He can do it. Souls can still be saved.
Amen.
One fellow told me the other day, he said, preacher, believing what you believe and believing that the rapture's coming and believing that we're in the days of the great apostasy and we're in the days of great turning away from the faith, why do you keep on preaching? I said, because there's always one more. There's always one more that might get saved. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. Amen. Let me move on. I'm about through. Tomorrow He adorns me. In the courtroom of justice, there's two things, faith and fire. But then there's a coronation room of joy in verse number 8, where He says we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. And then to sum it all up, in verse number 9, He talked about the consummation of the journey. Now, just bear with me. Maybe we'll all shout right here. Number one, because I'm through, that's always a good point to shout in Baptist church preachers too. But secondly, I want to describe what He's talking about at the end of your faith. Your faith is kind of like a two-end rope. You're holding on to this end, and God's got to hold the other end. Now, come on now. I want you to get your minds off of dinner, off of steakhouse. Get your minds on God. Get your soul in what I'm saying. The only thing you got when you're down there at the funeral home and you're looking at that loved one in that casket, the only thing you got is that rope. And when everybody's patting you on the back saying, I know how you feel. They don't know how you feel. Do they? Come on, be honest with me now. They don't know how you feel because they're not experiencing what you're experiencing at the moment, right? The only hope you got is when you feel that tug on the rope. It's on the other end. When you're down there and everything you got's gone and the whole world's coming in on you.
You feel a tug on that rope. Oh my goodness. That's it. That's what it's all about. But one day, every time you, and now watch this now, every time you feel a tug, you're a step closer home. Because when he tugs on the rope, he's pulling you home. Woo! Yeah. But one day he's going to pull it the last time. And what does it mean? What, the end of your faith? You're going to see him.
Amen.
You see the side of him, it's going to be the end of your faith.
Amen.
You know what you do with the rope? When you see him, you throw the rope off. You don't need no more tugs. You got the Savior.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Let's all stand.
Amen.
I appreciate your attention this morning. Appreciate the privilege of being here. Every head bowed and every eye closed, just a second, and then I'll turn it over to you, Pastor. I wonder today, when's the last time you bowed on your knees and said, Lord, I thank you for that tug on the rope. I thank you, God, that I can say he's still been a good God to me. Yes. No matter what's occurred, maybe some of you right here may be going through health problems right now. I have no idea. I don't know one of you. Maybe you've got bad news this week. Maybe you got laid off from a job this week. Or maybe that's pending. But can't you still bow on your knees and say, he's still been a good God to me? If I lose my job tomorrow, if I had to go to the funeral home tomorrow and kiss my wife or my husband goodbye, he's still been a good God to me. I have to look over my children in the casket. He's still been a good God to me. Yeah. You see, no matter what you go through, he's still been a good God.
Amen.
I wonder if anybody's here today, just step out of your pew right now in the quietness of the moment, bow at this altar and say, thank you, Lord. You have been a good God to me. You've been a good God to me. How about it? On my left, on my right. Anybody? Anybody? Just come on. Our heads are bowed, knives are closed. It's just between you and God anyway.
Amen.
And that's where it ought to be. Just bow and say, thank you, God. Maybe you're going through a trial. Maybe you've did what I said. Well, maybe you said, why me, Lord? Why me? Maybe you just need to come on down here and settle that with God. Say, you've still been a good God to me.
Yes.
He has.
Yes, he has.
When's the last time you thanked him for your church? Beautiful place to worship. Warm, warm spirit. Thank God for that. I felt it when I walked in the door. When's the last time you bowed and said, thank you, God. I got a place to come to get away from all the rat race of the world. Fellowship with God's people. Hear the songs and hear the preaching of the Word of God. When's the last time you bowed? Thank you, God, for being a good God to me. Maybe you've got a husband and a wife standing beside of you this morning. When's the last time you bowed at the altar and said, thank you, God, for this precious wife, his precious husband. Take a lot of things for granted, folks, till they go on. It's too late when you see that loved one at the funeral home to tell them you love them or to thank God for them. It's too late then. You ought to do it while they're living. Maybe you've got a child here. You just need to go and put your arm around them and say, I thank God for you and I thank God for being a good God to give you to me. Children are a fruit of the womb. They're the heritage of the womb.
Amen.
Amen. Brother David, come on.